Well, let's take our Bibles and look together in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and my text is from verse 11 down to verse 14.
Tadie nditsegureni mabaibu atu, ndipo mtsiku la lero litikaratibia nganatu zakalata wa Paulo, umene anamulembera ku Efeso chapter 1, ndipo utenga uti kuchokera mbuku lake la 11 mpaka na pa 14.
And I want to speak with you about what it is to be sealed by the Spirit of God. That's what Paul writes in verse 13, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, notice, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Ndiku kukuluvirira iye, munasindiki zidwa achizindikiro, ndi nzimu woyera walonjezano.
Now what we know from reading the scriptures is that salvation is of God from beginning to end.
Chifa, zometi mapeza ruti kama werenga mawa mulungu, kuchokera poyamba mpaka poteradu, kama oneseradu kwenda kulichipuru muso, ndija mulungu.
And through verses 1 through 10, Paul writing reminds the readers of this. Salvation is of God the Father, who has elected or chosen from eternity those sinners that he would save. But election by itself is not salvation. You see, it's the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit.
And
so, all that the Father chose from eternity, it was necessary that the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world and pay their sin debt, that God might be just to justify. And then, in harmony with the work of God the Father and God the Son, is the work of the Holy Spirit, which we are going to consider today. But what we're going to see is that the Spirit of God does not work separate from God the Father and God the Son. They all work together for the salvation of those sinners that God chose and Christ redeemed.
Now in verse
11 of my text, you notice how it begins, in whom. That's what salvation is. It's in the person of the Lord Jesus
Christ.
It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Speaking of the work of Christ, by his death, those for whom he has died have obtained an inheritance.
Now,
That's something that we can understand because when we die, our children inherit our goods. So by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, those for whom he died inherit all the blessings of his death. But the greatest thing is that our inheritance is Christ himself. But here is that connection then between the work of Christ and the work of God the Father. Notice how Paul writes it there, in whom we also have an obtained an inheritance, notice, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So there we see it plainly set forth that what Christ obtained in his death for his people was according to the will of God, having predestinated all things according to the counsel of his own will. The popular message today is that it depends on man. It's man that has to choose. It's man who must will. But we don't find that in the Word of God. And underscore that in your Bible. It's after the counsel. That word means determination of his own will, God's own will. The same thing Paul wrote over in verse 5 of this chapter, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, and note, according to the good pleasure of his will. Anybody that preaches man's will or that man must do something in order for God to save him is not preaching the gospel. And that eliminates the majority of what is being preached from pulpits today because God alone is not being glorified. Now here's the reason, coming back here to my text in Ephesians 1:12, here's the reason why it is God alone who saves. Notice the first part of verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory.
Now,
Anybody that does not give God all the glory in their salvation, they don't know God. And the same over here in Ephesians 1:6, Paul had said it already, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, accepted in Christ. So salvation is by God alone, it's by his grace alone, and it's by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now here's the part where I want us then to focus the rest of our time, and that has to do with the work of the Spirit. Paul says here in Ephesians 1:12 that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. What is the evidence that one is elect of God and that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid their sin debt? How do we know? The answer is simple. They trust in Christ. Not in just any Christ, but the Christ as he's revealed in the Scriptures. When Paul writes here, who first trusted in Christ, he's talking about those of the first century that were the first that were called to Christ by his work of grace. That would have been the disciples themselves who were Jews and were fishermen, and yet the Lord came and called them to himself. But Christ didn't come just to call Jewish sinners to himself. He came to call Jew and Gentile. So Paul is saying that even though they, as Jews, had been called to Christ, first trusted in Christ, you go on in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. This epistle that Paul is writing to the Ephesians, Ephesus was not in Israel. That was in Asia Minor. That is in a part of the world that we know today as Turkey. But the message is clear when he says in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. That means whether Greek or Jew, any for whom Christ paid the debt, when they're brought to trust in him, it's in the same manner, same way.
Ndeno kuma utenga ndozeka bwino umene kulankhulidwa umu kunena kuti amene mwa iye Yesu Kristo ameneyo inunso munakhala okhulupirira ndi amakalankhulatu za anthu kunena kuti akhoza kukhala agiriki kapena anthu amitundu ina koma kunena kuti onse pamodzi anayitanidwa mumayitanidwa amodzi.
And notice again in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. The object of faith is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as in verse 11 it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, so here, 13, in whom ye also trusted. Those who are the Lord's, they're not trusting in a decision they made. They're not trusting in a plan of salvation that someone told them A, B, C. No, they're trusting in Christ. But notice the order in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. And here the hearing is not just physically hearing. That word that ye heard, the word of truth, literally means in the Greek, obeyed. In other words, Christ was so revealed in the heart that they obeyed Christ, they obeyed his word.
Ndino ndine yomwe imene kupitiza zakulankhula kumva sakungolankhula tuzakumva monga kumva kwa thupi ai akulankhula zakumva kwa uzimu ndipo mawu akamatanthauzilidwa mu Chigiriki amatanthauza kukhulupirira kunena kuti munthu yatamva anachita anakhulupirira ndi kukhulupirira mu ntchito imene ya Yesu Kristu.
As parents, we know that we can tell our children to do something, but they can hear the words, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they heard. They just keep going on and doing what they're doing. And so you have to remind them and ask, did you hear me? When you see your children acting on what you've told them, then you know that they have heard. That's what that word obedience is. When Christ says, come to me, the obedience is that those sinners that he calls and causes to hear, they come to him.
Ndeno angaruta mtuma mwana nshido kuona kuti mwana uja kupanga mmene iwe wamuuzirapo pamene umazozonena kuti mwana ayo wamva ndipo izi zimatanthauza kumvera momwe monso ndi mmene Kristu amawapangira iwo amene ali ochimwa osankhidwa kuti akhale omvera.
So this shows us that there are none that hear of Christ or come to Christ without hearing his word, without hearing the gospel. Here's the reason we preach the gospel. I know some criticize us and say, well, if you believe that God elected those that will be saved and they're already chosen, why preach the gospel?
Well, Mulungu ndo ziradu ndipo anasankhiratu anthu koma chifaje ndanga makhala sotanga ndo kumalalikira uthenga wabwino.
It's because just as God has ordained the salvation of sinners, so he has ordained how it is that they are to be brought to Christ. It's going to be through the hearing of the word of truth. So it's a matter of setting Christ forth in truth, not just any Jesus, but the Christ.
Leno ndinkhani tu yolalikira Yesu Kristu kapena kufotokozera Yesu Kristu osangoti Yesu inaliyense koma Yesu Kristu amene ndi wamalemba.
And that's where Paul says there in verse 13, the gospel of your salvation. There's only one gospel. It's not all these different messages being preached, but the clear, distinct gospel of salvation is that which exalts the Lord Jesus Christ alone.
Ndikufayake Paulo popitiza nkhani mu verse yake ya 13 inusu inayo akunena kuti uthenga wabwino wachipulumutso chanu kusenza kuti si uthenga wina uliwonse ayi koma uthenga wabwino umene umachita kuvumbulusiridwa ndi mphamvu ya Mulungu mkati mwa anthu umene ndi uthenga wabwino wakuvumbuluka mʼmalemba.
Now the only way that any are going to hear, so as we set Christ forth, how do we know those that have been chosen of God and redeemed by Christ? Well, it's the Spirit that reveals him in their heart.
Ndipotu ndi njira yokhayo imene imadziwikira kunena kuti awawa Mulungu anawasankha, Mulungu anawaitana mwa mawu ake, izinthu zimakachitika zimakasimikiziridwa ndi mzimu woyera amene iyeyo amakaphunzitsa mkati mwa mitima yawo.
In John chapter 3 and verse 3, our Lord told Nicodemus, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3.
Ndine na ndiwe, ngati munthu sabadwa mwa sopano sakhoza kuona ufumu wa Mulungu.
So this matter of believing on Christ is not in man's hands. It must be God by his Spirit that causes that sinner to be born again.
Ndiyetu nkhani ya chikhulupiriro simakhala pa munthu ayi ndi ntchito ya Ambuye wathu Yesu Khristu amene amapangisa kuti munthu akhulupirire.
Just like in physical birth, there must be a conception. So spiritually, there must be the Spirit that causes the heart to be born from above. That's what born again means, born from above.
Ndeno monga mmene tikukhalika munthu kubadwa kwa thupi kunena kuti pamafunika tu kuti munthu akhale ndi kuyembekezera pakhale kuyembekezera kwa mzimayi.
And notice, without that work of the Spirit, it says he cannot see. That means sinners remain blind until such time as the Spirit gives them eyes.
Kutandauza kuti munthu wochimwatu amakhala wakhungu ndipo zimachita kutengera mzimu amene achite kumtsegulira maso kuti aone.
Notice he cannot see what? The kingdom of God, the sovereignty of God. That's what the kingdom is, the kingship of God.
Chifalaka kulankhula kuti sikhoza kuona chani ufumu wa Mulungu akamanena tu za ufumu wa Mulungu akutanthauza ulamuliro wacho wa Mulungu kunena kuti munthu ngati masoko sana sikuti sungathe kuona ulamuliro wa Mulungu.
Those who claim to be Christians today and yet deny God's sovereignty and salvation, they've never seen. They're still blind.
Iwowo amene amatchula okha kunena kuti ndiwokhulupirira ndi achikhulupiriro wa masiku ano, koma iwowo amakana ulamuliro wacho wa Mulungu anthu amenewo ndi akhungu muzimu samaona.
Then again, over in John chapter 3 and verse 8.
Ndifanya kanga kale ndikamaonaso mu verse ya Yohane chapter 3 verse ya 18 yoswa kulankhula.
So in verse 7, Christ told Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. At the time that Nicodemus came to the Lord at night, it was the Lord drawing him, and yet the Lord was reminding him that he could not know Christ apart from being born of the Spirit. Like so many today, they have the Bible. They have certain knowledge about certain facts concerning God and Christ. But apart from being born again, they cannot know God. They cannot know Christ. And see here in verse 8, the illustration that the Lord gives concerning the wind. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Just as we do not direct the wind, that is God who directs the wind, so it is we don't direct the Spirit. We can't determine that the Spirit should work here or there. The Spirit works according to the will of God the Father and the Son. So when we come back here to my text in Ephesians 1:13, we see that to believe on Christ is not the work of man, but the work of the Spirit. See where Paul writes there in verse 13 again, in whom also after that ye believed. To believe is the work of the Spirit. He says there, after that ye believed, in other words, the Spirit revealed Christ in you to cause you to believe. It says, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. To be sealed means to be preserved. So just as the Spirit of God reveals Christ in those for whom Christ died, he not only reveals Christ in them, but he keeps them looking to Christ. That's what it is here to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So not only our believing on Christ is entirely the work of the Spirit, but our keeping in Christ is entirely the work of the Spirit.
Denaru sikuti kungokhulupirira Kristu kodi ntchito yokhala ya mzimu woyera ayi koma kuti mzimu yoso amachisunga ya Yesu Kristu.
Look over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 through 5. So 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, here it is again, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Verse yake ya 3 mbukula 1 Petro chapter 1 akuti wodalitsika Mulungu ndiye atasema mbewa Yesu Kristu iye amene monga mwachifundo chake chachikulu anati balanso ndi chiyembekezo cha moyo mwakuuka kwa kufa kwa Yesu Kristu.
So here again we see the connection between the work of God the Father, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of his Spirit. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus.
And
one Spirit causing those sinners that God has purposed to save to come to Christ and believe on him. But you'll notice here in verse 3, when he speaks of, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope, notice, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means when Christ died and rose again, those for whom he died, died and rose again with him. They were begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's all based upon his work. This is why, if we're the Lord's, we have this living hope. It's because of his death and his resurrection. And here's that word again in verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. But notice, at the end of verse 4, it's not a period. So it's reserved in heaven for you who, verse 5, are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So this is the work of the Spirit, not only to reveal Christ, but as it says here, to be kept, verse 5, when it says by the power of God, that's speaking of the Spirit of God and his work to keep that which Christ has purchased.
Mm-hmm. amene munasungidwa ndi mphamvu yake kunena kuti zimwerayo amakusungani mu mphamvu yake.
In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord told his disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait, and he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So that's equating the person of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, with that power of God to keep his own. So this is what it is to be sealed by the Spirit of God, as we come back to my text in Ephesians chapter 1.
Ndeno tikamaona za iwo amene amasungidwa watu ndi anthu amene anasindikizidwa chizindikiro monga mmene tionera mbuku la Efeso.
To be sealed is to be preserved, kept by the Spirit of God.
Ndeno akamalankhula za kusindikizidwa chizindikiro uku ndi kusungidwa ndi mzimu wa Mulungu.
Now in the old days, and I think even today, some official documents, there is a seal put on them by an authority that shows that those documents are authentic.
For
example, if you have to go to an office to get a copy of your birth certificate, they're going to ask that there be a seal on that birth certificate so that you know, or they know, that it is authentic. Back in the day when Paul was writing these words, an official seal was actually made in wax. They would take wax from a candle and they would put it on the edge of a scroll. And then the authority would take a ring and impress the wax while it was soft, and it would dry that way, and that showed then that the document was authentic.
Imene imachita kutengera mphete ya olamulira imene amafunika kuti adinde pakalata kapena kuti aidinde pachipepala chimene chaperekedwa acho kuti chikhale chizindikiro chionera kuti boma lavomereza.
So to be sealed, as it says there in verse 13, Ephesians 1, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's the Spirit himself that is that seal, that once that Spirit is given to the sinner, God never takes the Spirit away. There are a lot of people today that are talking about some extra blessing that you have to have with the Spirit being poured out. They call it the baptism of the Spirit. And if you don't have that, then you can't have assurance of salvation. But our answer to those that look for that sort of experience is to say that we already have in Christ, by his Spirit, the seal of his promise. by this sealing, the Spirit impresses the heart of those for whom Christ died, of the love of Christ and of the truth of Christ and of righteousness in Him. And therefore we need nothing more. We have all that we need in Christ revealed by the Spirit. This sealing of the Spirit is not some emotional feeling or some outward experience. No, it's the persuasion that the Spirit gives that we're the Lord's and He is ours. The greatest evidence that we are the Lord's and that we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit is that He has brought us to trust in Christ and to rest in Christ's finished work. When it says there in Ephesians 1:13, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. So the believing is the work of the Spirit, but also the sealing, confirming that faith, is the work of the Spirit.
And
then going on to verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance, that is the Spirit being given, is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, again, unto the praise of His glory. That word earnest there in verse 14 is the guarantee. It's like you're going to buy a plot of land and you give that original owner an earnest. You give him the guarantee that you will indeed purchase that land.
Mukawona mawone na kuti chikole amene akuoneka mundima yake ya 14 yo ili ngati kunena kuti munthu apita kufuna kukagula malo ndipo kugula malo po ndomafunika uperekepo chikole chosonyezera kunena kuti malo ndi yako.
The word earnest there could be also translated as the down payment. In other words, what Christ has already accomplished, the Spirit now guarantees until the full redemption. In other words, until we're actually in glory with Christ.
Yesu Kristu ana wafera iwowo ntchito inali sinamalizike kufikira mzimu woyera atabwera ndi kukamatisa ntchito imeneyo.
When it says until the redemption, we can say, well, we were already redeemed from the curse of sin by Christ, but we await being redeemed and delivered from the presence of sin when we're taken out of this world. But what guarantee do we have that we're truly of that number and that our inheritance is eternal life in Christ? What guarantee is there?
Chisimikizo chake nchani chonena kuti ifeyo ndife amodzi aiwo amene Yesu Kristu anawafera chimatitsimikizira chiri zvimene zvinjani.
Here it's very clear. It's the Holy Spirit of promise. It's the Holy Spirit that God promised to give everyone for whom Christ died.
Yango lake tu ndirosavuta nkhani ya chizindikiro chake ndi mzimu walonjezano umene Mulungu adati anatipasa ifeyo pa malonjezano ake.
It's His Spirit that testifies to our spirit that we are indeed the children of God.
Ndipo mzimu woyera ameneyo ndi amene amachitira umboni yathu kapena kuti mitima yathu kuti ifeyo ndifedi ake a Mulungu.
I don't want to be trusting in my feelings. I don't want to be trusting in my will. I don't want to trust in any decision on my part. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And where does that hope originate? It's in the Spirit of God.
Chiyembekezo changa ineyo chamangidwatu pa mwanzi okhawo wa Yesu Kristu ndipo palibenso mabwino amene akhazikikapo chiyembekezo changa ayi koma malo pa mwanzi okhawo wa Yesu Kristu monga mwa mzimu wake.
Those whom Christ has saved by his death, the Spirit comes and reveals him in their heart, and the same Spirit keeps them all the way to glory.
Iwo amene Yesu Kristu anawafera anawapasa mzimu ndipo mzimu uyo ndi amene amathandiza ndi kulimbikisa mitima yawo komanso ndi mzimu yemweyo amene amawasunga kukhala ndi kuyembekezera ulemerero umenewo.
You know how it is that you can tell whether a message is truly of God or not?
Kodi mukudziwa mmene ndimukhoza kulamulira kudziwira kapena kuzoutenga uthenga umene kulalikidwa ngati uli wabwino uthenga wabwino wa Mulungu kapena ayi?
It's a message that gives God all the glory. And that's exactly how Paul terminates verse 14, unto the praise of his glory. That's who gets the glory. This is the gospel of your salvation, is what Paul wrote there to these Greeks, these Gentiles. And it's the gospel of our salvation, as God is pleased to reveal Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.